Hey, what's going on, everyone? Welcome to another episode of So NWA. This is your host, Juan Carlos. We have my brother Enrique here. How's it going?
Good, man. Good. It's a beautiful day here in Northwest Arkansas. I think today it's sitting at about 65 degrees. So yeah. I'm really enjoying that because for about a good week, we were having that thick snow and ice. So I'm really enjoying this weather right now.
Yeah. Last week we had this this ice storm. Hopefully everyone didn't have any plumbing issues as that can tend to happen. Mm-hmm. But, you know, guys, thank you so much for coming on in or tuning in. But if when Enrique and I are not recording, we're out here helping our guests in their real estate needs. If you guys ever need any help in that field, me and Enrique would love to help you guys.
Yeah, we'd be honored to interview for the job, because at the end of the day, you have the choice to interview as many agents as you want. Just as long as we get that opportunity, we'll be honored.
Yeah, no, 100%. But guys, I'm happy to introduce a good friend of mine from high school. He's a native to the Rogers, Arkansas area. After high school, he went to the Naval Academy. He was a president of his class, later becoming a Navy helicopter pilot with deployments overseas, later to work in the House of Senate, I believe. Yes.
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
And a little bit in the Pentagon. But everyone, ladies and gentlemen, give a round of applause for John Rex Spivey.
Thanks, Juan Carlos Enrique, for having me on, and a kind intro. What I always say in my intro that's oftentimes left out, I was also top 90% of my Naval Academy class. So if you do the math, I took more of the John McCain path than I did the top 1%. But I always say lead from the bottom up. So,
there you go.
Yeah, there you go. No, I like that. Yeah. I like that. Lead from the bottom up.
That's right. But no, I'm as you said, you know, Rogers native, proud to be from Rogers, Arkansas, proud to be from Arkansas. Mm-hmm. And it's so wonderful to connect with folks like you, Juan Carlos, that grew up here. And it's mm-hmm. nice that the community I left, despite the growth, we still have community here.
I like that.
Yes.
So. I like that a lot. I've noticed that's a super common response that we get from anyone that we've met, or even people that I talk to in the street. They say that our area is so kind of a tight-knit community, if you will, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So it's a common theme.
One of the things that I want to, you know, do in the podcast is really get some of the native people that are from the area, from, you know, the 60s and 70s and 80s here, and get to know them and see what life was like back in the day. Because I've been here since, I want to say, 2000, and Enrique kind of a little bit after that.
Yeah, like 2008, 2009.
Right? But I think, John, you were born, where were you born?
I was born in Rogers.
Oh, man. Yeah, there you go.
So you've seen it.
I've seen it. I was born in St. Mary's Hospital. My father is from Rogers, Arkansas. My mother's from Northeast Arkansas. She's from a small town called Pocahontas, Arkansas. It's the northeastern portion of the state, Randolph County. Hmm. But I'll tell you, it's funny, you know, growing up here, a lot of the same teachers that my dad, aunts, and uncles had, I had a few of those as well. And even in Boy Scouts, you know, you mentioned Rogers, Arkansas. I went to the same Boy Scout troop 122 in downtown Rogers that my dad was a member of. I was an Eagle Scout out of there.
No way.
And what was funny, there's the Swearingen family, which is old downtown Rogers. Mr. Swearingen Sr. was the scout troop master when my dad was going through, and helped my dad teach my dad how to pitch a tent. And then, you know, decades later, his son, Mr. Swearingen, for me, gave me, I think, the life-saving and swimming merit badge and the Swearingen family pool in downtown Rogers. So, you know, I appreciate you making a nod to those folks that have, you know, really helped build community and build that community here in Arkansas. And as folks like you and your families have moved here, you know, you've added to our culture, you've added to that community, and you've contributed. You know, for me, I always tell people, what made Northwest Arkansas special was that sense of community. Mm-hmm. And we don't have to build it, right? And we just have to contribute to it. Cause we've got a solid foundation. We just got to continue to contribute as individuals.
Ooh, man, that's powerful. I like it. Yeah, I like that's it. Cool. That's quite like that. If you haven't yet, tune into the episode 3 with Mayor P. Ridge. agencies. Very good episode.
Before we started recording, John here, you mentioned that there was a plot of land here many years ago, Pea Ridge, because we're currently sitting in Pea Ridge right now. And you mentioned when you had a friend, right? Your friend owned that, your parents owned that. And you remember you would shoot guns out there, you'd ride horses, you do whatever you did on open land. And how does it look now, that land?
Now it's Tyler and Trey Wilkerson. Growing up as kids, it was way out in the county back then, right? And there wasn't any houses around it. Now it's just developed. I was telling you both before the podcast, I was like, my goodness, it's long gone are the days of riding horses out here. And, even fishing and on the ponds and, shooting trapped and skeet and hunting. It's a different look, but, it's also a sign of progress. But I'll tell you, I love the growth in Northwest Arkansas. I love how this community's evolved.
Agreed.
One thing I hope, though, I hope we maintain what I call those Ozark values. We maintain some of those rural connections that we have, because I think those are special. And for me, as a kid growing up, my grandfather was a cattle farmer, but I hope we still maintain some of those rural roots that we have here. And because I think that's part of what makes it special here. It's a unique set of values. Arkansas values, Ozark values, probably interchangeable, but anyhow.
That's good. I'll piggyback off that and say, take what we have learned and what we grew up with and teach that to the future generation, whether it be our kids or, the younger generation, right?
Right.
I think that's a great point. Yeah, the Ozark Valley. I've not heard of that before.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it, Ozark Valley.
Where'd you get that from? I've never heard that.
To be honest, I stole it from my father, Joe Spivey.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
and I think what's also cool about this community is it's evolved too, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's built on those Ozark values,
mm-hmm.
but there's been multiple different, decades of progression, right? And I think, one good example, in the 1960s, Daisy BB guns came to Rogers, Arkansas, and the folks from Daisy moved down from Michigan, and they embraced and adopted those Ozark values, but they also added to it, right? And they brought a lot of goodness in. And then we had the growth, obviously, of the three, major companies here that let, obviously Fortune 1, Walmart, what Sam Walton did to Northwest Arkansas, not just Northwest Arkansas, but Arkansas, the whole state and the surrounding region for rural America. He went into rural America when a lot of other folks were saying, hey, it's not in rural America. And he said, you can do things in rural America. And I think he added to that and obviously, help put this place on the map.
Right.
As well as, J.B. Hunt, the Tyson's family and those companies. And I think there's been multiple iterations. I also appreciate the contributions of the Hispanic community, what they've brought to this region. And I just say what's special about Northwest Arkansas, it's strong Ozark values, Arkansas values, because people have moved here. They've adopted them, but they've also added to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's made a special place.
I agree.
But it's also up to us to maintain that.
Yep.
And to appreciate that history, that heritage, as we look forward towards the future.
I like that you mentioned that we have to keep reiterating that in for the future, right? Mm-hmm. And so one good thing about this podcast that we're doing is that we're highlighting all these different people mm-hmm. with different backgrounds that have these values that they grew up with. And our audience can tune in and they can apply this to their daily life, right?
Yeah.
And then we get to learn from our guests as well. So, John, thank you again for sharing something new with us, right? Something called Ozark Valleys. I really, really do like that a lot. I've never heard that before. It's a great way to put it.
That's really clean. I like that. But, how was, as we transition, how was the week for you guys, John?
It was good. It's good. As you said, last week,
we were all snowed in.
And I think like negative something wind chill.
Yeah.
That was not the Arkansas I intended to move home to, I'll tell you that. But, and then this week, 60 degrees.
It's beautiful weather.
It's beautiful.
Well, that's Arkansas for you. It can be blizzard one day, summer the next day. It's so funny.
Yeah. Yep.
That's awesome. So you mentioned you moved back. How recent did you move?
I moved back last year. So I've been here back home for about a year now. Okay. So actually,
where from?
I was in Washington, D.C. last.
Oh, okay. There you go. Awesome.
Does
it feel good to be back?
Oh, it feels great to be back.
Awesome. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah.
And Enrique, You're working with a client right now, right? With what, a listing or a deal or so?
Yeah. So this week has been good. We met with two new buyers. We're going to help them achieve the goal of home ownership.
Oh, nice.
So I was very blessed for that opportunity to meet with them, sit down with them, educate them, and be their advocate for home ownership. So we picked up these two new buyers. We did our inspection for another buyer who's mm-hmm. going to close in, I think, 2.5 weeks. Inspection went well, you know, typical things show up. So we're negotiating those right now. But overall, everything is good. Oh, and a seller of mine too, he had some land and we went under contract for my seller. So it's been a good week.
That's a good week. Yeah. It was a sunshine.
Yeah. I think it was a sunshine. So it made everybody start feeling a little bit more lively, ready to take some action. So
that's too funny.
I appreciate the sun for sure.
That's good.
What about you, Juan Carlos? How has your week been?
It's been good. You know, before the snow, there was a listing that I got that I went under contract with. So I had a client.
Within a day. Don't forget to mention that. You went under contract within a day of going on the market.
But that's not me, you know.
Hey, come on, man. You got to give yourself some props.
I appreciate it. No, it was a really good feeling. So there was a someone had reached out. There was a piece of land that they wanted to sell. And, you know, we did the whole process. It went live. And within 24 hours, we did get an offer for it. And we went under contract. So that was a really good feeling. So right now it's in that process. So a recap, right, for our listeners. If, you know, once you're under contract, now it's where
the due diligence period begins.
Correct. Yeah. So this is for your title companies, for your, you know, if they're going to do a loan or anything like that, that's where they do the back end work to make sure everyone is, you know, in compliance, making sure they have, right, you know, all these.
Like with land, you got to, if the buyer's going to do a perk test, make sure that they get the perk test done on time. If they're going to do a survey, make sure the survey is done on time.
Yeah, exactly.
If it needs a well, talk to people who install wells, get quotes on them, kind of see if all the numbers make sense. Just correct. The due diligence period, make sure everything is working well.
So it's that time. So I think it will close, and not to jinx myself or anything like that, but I do think everything will go well on both sides. So that's going to be exciting, but I won't find out for another few weeks.
Yeah. So it sounds like everybody had a great week.
It was a good week. Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Like, you know, in real estate, you interact with people that are moving to Northwest Arkansas. How do they feel as they move here? What do they think of Arkansas? Are they excited?
One thing I'll say is, let's say they're coming from like Central Texas, or they're coming from California, or even the East Coast. They'll see our prices, right, for our homes and how much the land values are and our taxes and everything. And they'll say, my gosh, you guys have such affordable property out here. This is nothing compared to back home where it depends what region they're from, right? But that's a pretty consistent feeling and answer that I'm getting. Wow, you guys have affordable properties out here. I can buy so much more house for more money.
Yeah.
For less money, excuse me. And then they also mentioned too the area, right? They love the area, how we get the best of both worlds, right? A little bit of ruralness, but also kind of that city type environment. That's what I've heard. Juan Carlos, I don't know if you have anything different. Or
I think it's a little bit of what we were talking about earlier as well, about, you know, these Ozark values. They come to this city or this area, excuse me, and they feel that, okay, I just moved to Arkansas and it's home of Walmart. But then after a few weeks or a few days, they're like, wow, it's actually really cool here. There's a lot of amenities that are offered that these bigger cities offer that I didn't think were here. From entertainment to recreational to, you know, really good restaurants and bars and schooling. If they have their family move here and their kids are maybe in high school or something like that, then they find out that the U of A is actually a really great school and it's down the road and they feel like it's more affordable. So combination of all those things, from affordable housing to a really good community to those essential amenities that they want, and then the schooling for their kids, man, it's like a win for them, right?
I do want to reference from the episode we had with the mayor of Pea Ridge. Mm-hmm. He shared a statistic with us. He said that I think the population of Pea Ridge grew about 120%, is what he said.
Like 10 years?
Within a certain amount of years. And because people wanted to live in this city, right, they had those core values, right, those Ozark values. You know, tight-knit community, family-oriented, willing to help whenever needing help. So that just kind of goes to show people are really looking for that kind of environment. And Northwest Arkansas is really a big, big provider, I think, with that. Very cool.
Yeah. One of the things that we do is to kind of ask these open-ended questions just to kind of see what the answer is, see how we can have a good time with it. But something I just saw right now is share a hilarious travel mishap or an adventure that you've experienced. I think we've all had those at one time.
Yeah, but I'm curious to know for John's answer, because this guy, I think he's been all over the place and he's been a busy guy, right? So I know my guy John here's got some good stories to share.
I'm going to go more on the adventure side.
Okay.
I like to share these stories as I reflect on my time in the Navy. Obviously, we got to travel the world. One of the things that we used to do oftentimes when we'd come home from deployment, we would do these what we'd call good deal flights. And we were authorized to do this back then. We're going to get flight hours, right? So it was useful for us because we had to burn certain flight hours a month. But we'd come home and say, hey, we're going to take our sailors out who worked very hard around the clock on deployment and show them, hey, this is a good deal flight. Thank you for your service. Welcome home to the United States. Let's do something a little bit different. That's good quality training flight time for us. Mm-hmm. But also it's a good experience for our maintenance sailors that didn't get to fly. So one of my favorite flights that we did, I don't think we're allowed to do it anymore, unfortunately. we used to go up from Norfolk, Virginia Beach, Virginia, and we could do this in a day. We could fly up to New York City and we would land on the Wall Street pad, and you do like, it's a cool little helicopter flight, orbit the Statue of Liberty, land on the Wall Street pad, and do the river run up in New York City. Well, this one time, we decided to treat it like the drive-through. But you know, obviously you're flying to New York City. What do you have to call in for lunch? A New York pizza. So
100%.
So we landed at McGuire's Air Force Base, called in a New York pizza, had it delivered to the Wall Street pad. Actually, another Rogers, Arkansas connection, was living in New York at the time. Ken and Julie McKenzie. And they actually dropped it off of the Wall Street pad. And, I jokingly said it was like drive through style, New York City style in a Navy helicopter. But it was stuff like that. Those are the things, those are memories in the Navy that
you could probably never do. Like, we could never do that.
Probably not. we don't have access to the resources and all stuff, training. And
no, it's an appreciation meal and flight to those people. Yeah. How I that's real cool.
and on the record, there were no rules broken. So it's all good. Yeah. But that's, you know, that's the hardest part about leaving the Navy and coming. I love being home in Arkansas, but I also miss the Navy and I miss those experiences. I miss the people. Mm. And while, you know, deploying was, you know, it was a lot of work. It was those moments of, you know, camaraderie and having fun and doing things that were a little different.
Right. Than,
yeah, once in a lifetime experiences, but yeah. So I don't know if that's a good adventure or not, but I thought I'd share that.
No, I think it is. It's out of your generosity and time and all those things combined that they got to experience something like that. That's the way I look at it. So,
well, yeah, they were the heartbeat of our squadron. You know, they would deploy in less than 24 hours in the wake of a hurricane to go do good on behalf of the United States, saving lives, bring humanitarian aid and disaster relief assistance. And so at a moment's notice to do good for this country. And it was those little moments where it's like, hey, let's go do something fun to say, hey, thank you for what you're doing here. And it's your contribution to our team. So 100%. It was the least we could do. I always enjoyed those flights the most.
Nice, nice. Speaking on this, just because you had brought up New York pizza, I'm a big pizza guy.
Like, yeah.
I'm a Ninja Turtle, you know.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah.
So I'm going to ask yourself this question for John and for Enrique as well. Are you a New York style pizza guy?
New York all the way.
Thin crust
all the way.
Thin crust. All right, New York. Cool. And Enrique, how about you?
Yeah, if I had to, if this was my last meal, right?
Okay.
If I got these two pizzas sitting in front of me, you know, I got to go with the New York pizza.
Okay, cool.
Deep dish is good, but I think I would pick the New York pizza for sure.
Man, I'm going to go with New York 100% for sure. And a little deep dish story that I've been chasing a deep dish for the longest. I was like, I've only had New York style pizza. And I was like, man, I think I'm going to love a deep dish. I just know it. That's why I kept telling myself for years. I finally had a chance to go to Chicago and try this deep dish pizza. And I was like, nah. I'll give them one more try.
Yep.
I don't remember what the name was, and it was Giordano's or I don't know. Someone's probably like, that's not the place to get it. But so I'm going to give one more try.
Yeah.
So next time, more of a local place or a mom and pop shop. But yeah, New York style. All
it the might way. Be better from a mom and pop shop. But again, it's good pizza, but I'd rather get like Johnson. Thin crust pizza for sure.
Yeah, I think it's 100%. Yes.
You get to fold it. It stays nice and even. Crunchy crust.
Texture too.
Just texture. Yes, yep. Absolutely. Yep. I'm a big texture guy. I love crunchy food. So a thin, crunchy slice of pizza.
Totally agree.
Perfect.
Yeah, I like that.
So, John, we talked a little bit, right? You're here from Rogers originally. But prior to your father, because your father is also from Rogers, right?
Yeah.
Is your grandfather also from Rogers, or where did your family originate
from? Yes, my grandmother's from Boston, Massachusetts. And my grandfather was actually born and initially raised in New Mexico. And his family migrated to Arkansas in the Great Depression during the Dust Bowl. So my great-grandfather, the story is he got on a train and he told my great-grandmother, Mother Alice at the time, that he said, hey, I'm going to get on a train and I'm not getting off till I see green. And that happened to be in Siloam Springs, Arkansas.
Oh, there you go.
And there were a few other requirements. And one was, you know, they wanted access to opportunities like education.
Mm-hmm.
So my grandfather and his two older brothers could go to college. And that was John Brown University at the time. And so so my family actually really, and as far as Northwest Arkansas, our roots go back to my great-grandfather coming on that train and landing in Siloam Springs, Arkansas. And then he went off to World War II. He was in the Army Air Corps. And then he became a seismologist engineer. He was on oil exploration crews across the world in Saudi Arabia, in Calcutta, India. And long story short, he met my grandmother. It's a cool romance story. They met on a ship coming back to the United States, fell in love, proposed her and convinced her to marry him, and then they moved to Calcutta, India. I think the convincing part to move to Calcutta, India, that was fascinating for her being from Boston, right? But so my father was actually born in Calcutta, India. And my parents tell the story better, but when they were in Calcutta, India, he said, I want to move back to Arkansas. I want to be a cattle farmer in Arkansas. And to be honest with you, it might have been easier to convince my grandmother to move to Calcutta, India at the time than it was to move to Arkansas. But that was 1959. My dad was 1 year old when they moved. You know, I really have a lot of respect for, you know, my grandfather and my grandmother. When they came here, my grandfather said, be a giver to the community, get involved. And he was really involved in things like the Rotary Club, involved in a lot of civic efforts in the community, and as was my grandma. My grandmother, I think, was ahead of her time in many ways,
mm-hmm.
On many fronts. She was really involved in the schools. She was involved in helping youth. She was, her previous job, she was the director of an organization called Our Farm. I'm partially named after my grandfather, Rex. My other grandfather's John out in East Arkansas. And the mixture of the two. And I'm always proud of that. And I think that's also part of my Arkansas heritage. And the same could be said from my grandparents over in Pocahontas, Arkansas. They believed in community. And so I think for me, yes, but the heritage and how long my family's been here, it's quite a while, but I think I'm really proud to hopefully build upon that legacy that my family's created here. And I look up to my grandparents both, and unfortunately my grandfather's passed away when I was 10, but I was fortunate to have both my grandmothers alive. My grandmother in East Arkansas passed away, but my grandmother Adeline is still alive. She's 98 years old. I shouldn't say that, by the way. I'm never allowed to tell her age, but yeah. She's the matriarch.
But what a blessing that is.
It is.
Oh, my gosh. That's awesome.
Yeah. Probably the greatest
blessing. And I am sorry to hear about your
other parents. No, they lived a great life. And I think the greatest blessing of moving home to Arkansas is spending quality time with my grandmother. And, you know, she's my grandmother, but she's also... she's like a very good friend. She's like a best friend to me. And so
there you go.
Anyhow, so
man, you just connected us. That's she's got to come to the podcast.
I don't know.
I know.
She's a personality. So,
oh, is she?
Oh yeah.
Oh man, that would be fun.
Yeah.
But You know, you might be one of the first people I know that really have a deep history in this area. My family and I, you can say we've only been here for more or less 20 something years, you know, but man, to go back that far, that's really impressive. That's really great. And I can only just see that. I think you're going to continue that history too. But what is one of your earliest or best memories of Northwest Arkansas?
You know, I just talked about my grandparents, my grandfather, being named after both my grandfathers. Mm-hmm. I have very distinct memories with both of those grandfathers. Mm-hmm. I used to look forward to every Saturday morning, we'd load up and we'd go to breakfast and then we'd go work the farm. And I remember that I always cherished those memories probably the most. I was shy little boy back then, but just to be in the car, usually it was with my father and my grandfather. And I was a little boy, so I wasn't really working, but I was just tagging along. I was kind of their wingman. And, you know, just to have those memories and to just be in the back seat hearing their conversations about whether it was local politics, breaking the ice in the ponds for the cows. Those are just memories that I'll never forget. And even then, you know, both my parents, I have memories of with them as well. Mm-hmm. My mom, dad, they're involved in the community and the schools. You asked about like what makes, I think, this community special is like, you know, as I said, knew a lot of my aunts and uncles, but with my mom being a teacher, I couldn't get away with anything. I couldn't get in trouble because everybody knew about it, right? So I had to be really careful.
I know he went home every day like, God, darn.
I know. And then the other one is I remember going to East Arkansas. Mm-hmm. And there was two highlights in East Arkansas. My other grandfather, JD, he would, every time we'd come there, and this is traditional, you know, this is very Arkansas. We'd go there. We'd go to dinner maybe. And then the highlight was he'd take you to Walmart and you go buy something, right? Oh. And that was the highlight to go visit him in Pocahontas, Arkansas. Is you get to go visit Walmart and he'd buy you something.
That's what we did in high school. We used to go to Walmart. That was the only thing back in the day.
Do you remember when Walmart was 24 hours?
I was about to say that right now.
I'd go to Walmart in the middle of the night with my friends when I was in high school.
Can you imagine being a Walmart employee at, you know, the graveyard shift? And you just see this bunch of kids just walking through the door now, right? Like, you know, yeah. we're older and we're like, oh my gosh, I would want to kick those kids out. You know, I wouldn't want them in the store because they're, you know, they're not gonna buy anything.
Yeah.
You know, but which they're, you know, there's no 24 hour Walmarts anymore, I don't think. Yeah. But yeah, I remember doing that.
Yeah. I like that you bring that up because I have a funny story too. So back in high school, you know, most high school kids, you know, they don't have a job or they have a part-time job. So what I did for money in high school was I'd find loose change on the ground or in like a drawer or something. I had a little pouch. Mm-hmm. I called it my coin pouch. And I'd fill it with quarters, dimes, nickels, pennies, everything, right? And we'd go to the Walmart in the middle of the night, me and my two friends, Alan and Eddie. And we could afford, and this is before everything went up, but we could afford to each get a soda and a little candy bar. Just going to Walmart and hanging out, it's very Arkansas.
Yeah,
I find it so funny.
It really is. Yeah. Oh, it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's especially in like small towns.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I remember back in the day, there used to be a lot of kickbacks, you know, if
at the Walmart?
No, not at Walmart. Oh. Like, you know, with your friends, you know, a lot of kickbacks if their parents.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. If they were out of town or something, hey, come to my house and we got a kickback. Let's go.
Yeah. 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 Absolutely. So,
that's funny. Yeah. Well, you know, you've been here for a long time, right? You got really deep roots in the area. Yeah. In your opinion, John, what do you think makes this area so different compared to other communities outside of Arkansas?
Yeah, I think it's very simple to me. You know, Arkansas is known as the natural state now, but before that, our state slogan or motto, whatever it was, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We're the land of opportunity. And in Arkansas, there's opportunity. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's what's different here. If you have an idea, run with it.
Man, I gotta do some Arkansas history. I don't think I knew.
Yeah, no, wait, I think it changed like a couple decades ago. If you have an idea, run with it. We're a state built on dreams. I mean, you look at what Sam Walton did. We pulled it off, right? Because people believed in him. Mm-hmm. Maybe not immediately, right? But there were people that bought into it and mm-hmm. they created Fortune One, right? J.B. Hunt, same thing. I think it's just, we have an innovative culture. And I think it goes back to like, it's a land of opportunity. It's like, if you have an idea, run with it. people in Arkansas, they dream big, and I think we, you know, get things done because, you know, we encourage things. We believe in each other.
Yeah, I really like that answer, and I really like that the slogan used to be "Land of Opportunity."
Yeah,
I had no idea that even that was
around. Yeah. I mean, I'm so old school, and there's two things that I believe in, and I'll probably never be successful in changing them. But one is I still wish we were the land of opportunity, because I just think that's who we are. We are the natural state, but I do think we're the land of opportunity.
Okay.
That's the first. And the second, and this one does drive me crazy, and I don't like that we're called Arkansan.
Oh.
I think we should be called Arkansasers.
Oh,
because we were a state before Kansas, and we're Arkansas, not Arkansan. So anyhow, that's just my opinion.
Well, a lot of people feel that way about the pronunciation.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I can understand how people would feel that way for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think, how do I say it? Arkansan.
I've always said Arkansas.
I always said Arkansas too. Yeah. But yeah. Yeah.
So my life goal is if we can change it from Arkansan to Arkansas, I will have led a successful life.
There you go. I like it.
Hey, it starts somewhere, right?
That's right.
There you go.
Dream.
One of the things that fascinates me is your military career, and I don't know too much about it. So yeah. I really take some time to honor that, but also to get to know more about it. You know, and so you know, you can be as detailed as you like.
Okay.
Or give it, you know, the quick version of it, however you like. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I, you know, my dream in the sixth grade, I said, I want to go to the U.S. Naval Academy. I went to my dad and I said, hey, this is my dream. And it started with, all right, that's great. At the time, I was a C student. I was a follower, not a leader. And he said, all right, you're going to have to change the person you are then. You're going to have to become an A student. You're going to have to become an Eagle Scout. You're going to have to be a leader, not a follower. And he listed all these things. He goes, and get involved, give back. Be in your community, because that's what the Naval Academy wants. That's what West Point wants. And so I was like, all right, you know, I'm going to go do that. Right. Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of really what changed the trajectory of my life. And then my mother probably made one of the most significant contributions. It was middle school, I want to say. There was something happened, and my mother gave me a lecture as a sit down one day at home. And she said, you know, you didn't stand up for what was right today. You talk about going to the Naval Academy, wanting to be that kind of leader. You're not going to make it with that kind of attitude. She goes, being popular is not always being with the popular kids. Being popular is being respected by all and stepping up and standing up for what you believe is right. And so I will just say a huge part of who, not necessarily why I got to the Naval Academy, but I think what helped me there was the foundation that largely my parents built, and putting some guide rails before I got there.
Wow.
I had the privilege and opportunity and honor, frankly, to be nominated to the Naval Academy from the state of Arkansas. I took my nomination by Senator Bozeman, then Congressman Bozeman, to go to the Naval Academy as represent the people of Arkansas. I can tell you a funny story about that after this, about calling the hogs during our plebe summer boot camp, which is funny. But anyhow, I at the Naval Academy, just like me, I was one of many. I was one of many just representing the goodness of this country, coming from every state, territory, and walk of life. And so, you know, while there, I was like, this place is awesome. This is where I want to be. But it was really just a stepping stone to get to in the actual U.S. Navy. And that was the ultimate privilege, because it was truly one team, one goal, one purpose. And we got to do a lot of different things. I mentioned, you know, multiple deployments, but also humanitarian aid and disaster relief. And I got to see our sailors do a lot of different things. That was just very special, and it made you proud to be an American. I tell people all the time, people in this country are very proud of the military, and as a service member, thank you to the taxpayers, because we appreciate that you appreciate us. But in turn, if you know, if you'd only see a fraction of what our service members do, you too would be proud of what your taxpayer dollars are hard at work doing. It was a privilege to also serve. Fortunately, I was a helicopter pilot. Mm-hmm. That was fun, but the real highlight of my career was being with people in the Navy. You know, after my tour, you mentioned Capitol Hill. I worked for Senator Collins from Maine, one of my best bosses I ever had.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Senator Collins used to talk about what's the process, what's the precedent, because when you stick to process and precedent, it's hard to challenge integrity. And so had a tremendous amount of respect working for him. I learned a tremendous amount. And then after my time in the Senate, went back to the Naval Academy. I worked in the Center for Academic Excellence. So I was a perfect fit to work there because I probably should have spent more time in the academic center as a student there, but worked there, which was an awesome experience to work in higher education and to work at the Naval Academy in a different lens. It's one thing to be a student there, but then to go back and to be a military officer there, the opportunity to maybe invest in somebody, you know, to make them the best version of themselves, to be a leader for our sailors and Marines. It was an incredible experience. I worked for a gentleman by the name of Dr. Bruce Pukowski. Doc was a old football coach out of Wisconsin, which I think was why he was so good at his job in the academic center. was because he knew how to give tough love and get kids in there, get them help. I'll just say he, another great boss in the sense of I had all these military operations. It was uniform, leadership. I learned as much from working for people who didn't wear a uniform as I did for those working in uniform. And I think that's important because we all have something to learn from one another. Dr. Bukowski, as I said, he knew how to get kids in there who needed help, but he also knew how to lift them up. And I think that was kind of like that football coach in him. But he used to always talk about numbers, data, numbers.
numbers don't lie.
Yeah,
numbers don't lie. Numbers don't lie.
So he used to always say, hey, our success has to be numbers. We have to go get kids in here that are struggling. We have to go get kids in here that want to be Rhodes Scholars so we can help them get to the next level, right? Again, another great experience, another good touch point. And then from there, it was COVID-19. And me and my peers from the Naval Academy got together and said, hey, what can we do to make the Navy better? And we realized that there was, in a bureaucracy, which the Navy is, sometimes the best ideas don't make it to the top. Mm-hmm. And it's not a fault of anybody. It's just, it's hard to get ideas to the top because it's just a big organization. Mm-hmm. And we said, hey, junior folks have great ideas and senior leaders want to hear those great ideas. Mm-hmm. And vice versa, there's also senior leaders that have great perspective and wisdom and make decisions that sometimes the junior officers and the junior folks in the Navy don't have that perspective. So we said, hey, how do we create a platform that delivers innovative ideas from junior folks and take it up to senior leaders? But also, how do we give senior leaders the platform to give perspective back to the junior folks? I came up with this thing called the Naval Junior Officer Council. We spelled council S-E-L, not C-I-L. And the premise of that was we all have counsel to give, but more importantly, the capacity to receive it. So we wanted to build dialogue. So faked it till we made it. And in December of 2020, the Chief of Navy Personnel, the Admiral in charge of people and talent, and the Chief of Naval Research endorsed it. And they said, all right, we love this. Come build it. And that was the hard part. It was one thing to make the pitch and to get them to sign off. And we're like, oh boy, what do we do now?
We got it.
But it was an awesome experience. And so I was pulled in. Fortunately, my peers chose me to be the first director of it. My classmate, Adam Johnson, Supply Corps officer, it was his big idea. And he had to go on deployment, actually. So he let me be the first director of it. I worked with my other classmate, Craig Veach. And together we built something, and I'm proud that it's still going today. It's across probably 7 communities in the Navy, and you know, you have surface warfare officers, ship drivers, submarine officers, pilots, you know, and intelligence officers, all these different communities in the Navy coming together at junior ranks saying, hey, let's work together. I hope we built a solid foundation. I had to leave it, but it was an awesome experience. And what I'll say is, you know, people talk about, hey, it's hard to innovate in bureaucracy. It's hard to change things. And I give a lot of credit to Navy leadership and to the admirals that gave us a chance. What we learned in that process was, you know, we have a lot to learn from one another. And, you know, it was, I even think from a junior officer perspective, we probably learned a lot more from the senior officers than they probably learned from us. And the senior officers would probably say the opposite as well. You know, we've got to bring generations together. All of these generations, we have a lot to learn. And in this era of emerging technology, sometimes put the cell phones down and engage with people that come from a different generation. Mm-hmm. That was my career in the Navy in a nutshell.
Wow.
It was awesome. It was an adventure every day. You know, taking the uniform off wasn't easy, but as I say, take it off, not because you're running from it, take it off because you're running towards something else. Right. I'm running towards something else.
Ooh, okay.
It hasn't quite hit yet, right?
Okay.
but I'm working on it. So
cool, man. Well, let me just say first and foremost, and apologies for not saying it earlier, but thank you for your service. To us, the U.S. people, to our country.
Definitely.
And to all of our listeners here who truly do appreciate our military, right? We thank you for your service and
thank
your sacrifice.
Thank you for your service.
Yeah. No, thank you. Well, thank you. And I, as I say, thank you to the American taxpayer, because I can tell you, the American people do appreciate our military today. And I think that's seen in, like, you know, VA funding and, like, the mental health and, like, disabilities afterwards. The American taxpayers definitely appreciate us. And so I will always say thank you. And that's an important piece. And I hope we can always maintain that support of our taxpayers and the people of this country supporting those in uniform, because that's an important aspect of our country.
Agreed. Yeah, military, I think there's a lot of folks here in our area. I want to say, I mean, I know a few people that I've met personally throughout my life that they're veterans. They're currently on deployment, or they can be called for deployment at any moment's notice. So I've always appreciated those people, because I know how difficult, based on what they've told me, how hard it can be for them to get up and leave, or to sacrifice their time.
Right? Sacrifice their time and then come back and, is it, what do you say, become a civilian?
Right? Yeah.
Right. I know the transition is not easy, but that being said, you know, now that you've returned, and you're not involved in the military no more, how has it been? How's that transition been?
You know, I think, so first off, transition is tough. We all make transitions in life, and it's never easy. It's never easy to leave the known and to go into the unknown. It's a new environment. So that's the first thing I'll say is, like, I've gained an appreciation for transition alone. Number two, I think for me, it's been an experience, but it's been a good experience in the sense of we talked about my grandmother earlier, to have quality time with my family after coming through the military. I was gone for 15 years and had that quality time with family again, to reconnect with people in the community. That has been an incredible experience and something that I'm grateful for. That said, I do think there are areas to improve. And I think where we can improve, and it goes both ways. I think service members and veterans can do a better job of translating their experience to private sector employers. But I think also, I think private sector employers could also, you know, benefit from military service or military veterans by giving them a chance, but also saying, hey, you know, that military background may not translate directly to this specific role. But I think if they went beyond just the specific requirements and just gave military folks an opportunity to prove themselves, I think that they would actually see great value in that. I think that's something we've made great strides as a society, but I think something we could always get better at and improve. And so again, I think that goes both ways, but part of that's also just the translation. And that's up to how we could prepare service members better for that transition. And frankly, for me, I didn't realize, I thought it'd be pretty easy, but I think you have to go through it, right? Mm-hmm. But as I say, transition's hard. What I've learned the most is maintaining a positive attitude and looking about the future and looking for opportunities. And I think for me, because of my year in transition, I've gotten to learn who John Rex is outside of the military uniform. And I've got to define who I am. And go back to the John Rex before I went to the Naval Academy, go back to reconnect to my community. And as I said, when you leave the Navy, you run towards something. Today, 1 year out, I now know more than ever what I want to be 10 years from now. And I'm excited about that. I'm excited about that opportunity. And I'm looking forward to contributing as a civilian, learning from the lessons learned in my experience, and helping pave the way for future, for others in the future. So so they can maybe learn from my mistakes. Mm-hmm. This community has been very appreciative and thankful of the service, and it's been sincere and genuine. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to say that to those that have really taken me in, been a friend and an advocate, thank you.
Man, that's awesome.
I love it.
That's a great answer right there. Yeah. And you know, you have our support in any way.
Yeah.
Enrique and I, like I was telling you yesterday, I was like, man, I'm so excited to get to meet John Rex.
Yeah. Your story, he kept telling me that your story would be really interesting. And I think it really did live up to the expectation that he was sharing with me, right? Because you have so much experience and such, you know, an interesting background, right? Not a lot of people have done what you've done, right? Like,
yeah,
people that we can meet, right? Not to say that other people have that background, but it's interesting to sit down with somebody who was really involved, right? You started this program with the Navy, right? Helping other people in the Navy, right?
Yeah.
You're helping assist them in growing their career and growing them as a somebody in the
Navy. You left a tool for them.
Yeah.
You know, right? Like you left a tool for them to use now. And I think you have that ambition to also continue that now that you're outside of the Navy. But to be honest, too, you really have really a good set of parents that have really set a tone, in my opinion.
No. They have. And thank you both for saying that. And I think you're right. I think in the sense of you're right about my parents.
Yeah.
And as I said, I was fortunate. I was fortunate to have a good set of folks, parents behind me, and even a, you know, good community behind me. And
okay. So John, you know, we talked a little bit about your military background and what you did before, during, and after. And I'm just curious, is there anybody that you'd like to give a shout out to, generally speaking, a team, friends, family member? Who do you have in mind that was a big advocate for you?
Oh boy. So shout outs are hard, because there's so many people, right?
Right.
Yeah. So I'll start with this. I will give a huge shout out. Juan Carlos, Furman Sandoval.
Oh yeah.
Is the reason why we got reconnected.
That is correct.
So I'm going to give a big shout out to Furman Sandoval, who's also a Rogers native. Mm-hmm. At Elmwood Junior High with us. And
he did.
For those that don't know, Furman has had an exceptional career in the United States Marine Corps.
Mm-hmm.
He was part of, and I think I can say this, he was part of the Presidential Marine Corps Helicopter 1 team.
He was.
In Washington, D.C., where he and I got reconnected. And then he reconnected me and Juan Carlos together. So my shout out is to Furman Sandoval. And what I will say is, like, you guys thank me for much for service. Thank you for your service and continued service in the United States Marine Corps. And I can honestly say this, being a Navy veteran myself, thank God we have people like Furman Sandoval serving the United States Marine Corps. He is making an impact. He is making a difference. I had the privilege to walk around with Furman and hear how his Marines look up to him. And so I will say, Furman, thank you for what you're doing out there. Tip of the spear for the United States Marine Corps.
Mm-hmm.
And my shout out is because of you and the relationship that we had at Elmwood Junior High. As I was talking about community earlier, that's it right there. Pick up the phone. Hadn't seen Furman for a decade plus, and we picked up right where we left off.
That's awesome.
And I will give that shout out.
Cool.
And then in general, what I will say is, like, you know, I've got friends here. I mentioned a few folks, my folks here, you know, there's a whole community here.
Yeah. Yeah.
I talk about, you know, the Elmwood Junior High teachers that I grew up with, the Rogers High School football coaches and teachers at Subiaco that I had down in the River Valley, the Naval Academy. What I will say is I learned from a lot of different folks.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll summarize it with this. I have a very good mentor from the Naval Academy that once said, she calls me J-Rex. She's like, J-Rex, do you want to make a point or do you want to make a difference? And so a large reason of why I was successful is all the people that have helped me go from making points to making differences. And that starts out of this whole community. That starts out of coaches and mentors here. Starts out with my Link in the Chain class, and then a class of 1963 at the Naval Academy, my peers, and so forth. So I don't know if I want to give a shout out other than my family, but I'll just say for those that have contributed, made an investment in my life, and have helped me go from being making points to making differences, thank you.
Ooh,
Love it.
That's great.
I love it.
That's great. And just to say, yeah, I look forward to having Furman on the podcast.
Oh, good.
Yeah, yeah. Furman is such a special person to me. And we've been really, really good friends at a really young age. And I have nothing but love and respect for him and his family. And I love his mom. His sisters are like my sisters. I love his wife, Maria. Anything that they need, me and my wife are there for them too, for the whole family. Every time I see his mom out in the store or something, I give her the biggest hug in the world. She is, they're all amazing.
So, yeah. Well, and I'll say this, you know, what I love about Furman is he always has this just giant smile. And I it's the art of a smile. I mean, he's got it. And he just
does.
You have the worst day in the world. Like, see Furman, see that smile, and you're like, man.
oh my gosh. Yeah. He's a really good guy.
Yeah. That's awesome. Great American.
Yes. 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 As we kind of wrap up the podcast, we still got a few more minutes, but you know, something we always do is highlight the area, right?
Yeah.
We always want to give a shout out to the area to say, hey, what's one of your favorite things? You know, when you have family or friends for the first time come to this area, even maybe if it's your military buddies or you know, or people you've met or and they've only been here for a little bit, what do you tell them about this area? What do you say about it?
I just have this Arkansas pitch that was pretty wide ranging. But part of the Arkansas pitch is I tell all my buddies that Arkansas is the golden triangle of barbecue. Because up to the north, you have Kansas City.
Oof.
Over to the east, you have Memphis. And down south, you got Texas. Uh-huh. And in between, it makes up this beautiful triangle called Arkansas, where the best barbecue in the world is made. So when people come visit Arkansas, I'm like, you've got to have Arkansas barbecue. And maybe some fried chicken and fried fish. So I think that's...
Man, he mentioned fried chicken. That's my favorite food right there.
Yeah.
Love fried chicken. It's really, really good.
It's good.
So. Do you have a spot specifically for barbecue? Because I know for us, a lot of people mention Wright's. I don't know if you have
Wright's is good. Since I've been home, I've started smoking myself. So tried. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But no, Wright's is good. A Whole Hog is good. I mean, I it's hard to go wrong. Out in East Arkansas, there used to be a restaurant called Couch's Barbecue, and that was really good. So I just like Arkansas barbecue. So Wright's, but Wright's is hard to beat, obviously. And so yeah, it's good stuff. All good stuff.
Yeah.
And for fried chicken, I love Neil's Cafe.
I love that place. Have you not been there?
No.
So it's like a breakfast/lunch type business. They've been here for a long time now. Yeah. I don't know how long. I think since the 60s or 70s.
Yeah.
Long time up in Springdale. You just go all the way up on 71B. You keep on going and going. And it's a pink building. It'll be on the right-hand side if you're going into Springdale from Rogers and Lowell.
I think I know. When you said pink building, this one building just... But is it by the hospital?
I think it's a little bit before. No, I can't exactly remember.
Okay.
It is. It's by the hospital.
Okay. Yes. But I would recommend checking out hospital. Neil's Cafe. It's
Neil's
good there. I love it there.
Montanay chicken's good.
Are they still around Monday Chicken?
Yeah.
Okay. It's still good. So
I think I was thinking about that one that was in Springdale that they closed down after. What was it called? AQ
Chicken. AQ. Yep.
Yeah,
they're actually gonna reopen it again.
Are they actually?
Yeah, I think a different location. This is what I heard, or I felt like I saw in the news that you know they closed that location down. Now it's a car wash.
Yeah.
But I think they're gonna open up a new location somewhere else in the area.
That'll be cool.
Springdale's their home or whatever. So
Well. As I tell people, if you come to Arkansas, you're going to get barbecue, probably some fried chicken, maybe fried catfish.
I'm going to use that. That's pretty good.
The golden triangle of
barbecue. Yeah, that's good.
I exaggerated a little bit, but but why not?
I mean, you might as well, right?
In Arkansas, tall tale. That's all it is. Yeah. You know?
You're just advocating for your statement.
Yeah. That's exactly right. Yeah.
Nothing wrong with it.
So what else is one of your favorite local spots here?
Well, you
came in with Confident Coffee. I see.
I Confident Coffee. So it's a good coffee shop. I like the coffee world. I do like Onyx a lot. You know, I will say this, and this is something I miss some of the old establishments.
Okay.
Like Tail the Trout back in the day was the best. It's in fact, you wouldn't even believe it anymore. It was on top of like this hill. And they shaved off that mountain or that hill, and they're building the new Whole Foods there. And it was just a fantastic restaurant.
I know what you're talking about now. Yeah, yes.
The core brewery used to be up there.
And yes.
It was there. Mary Maestri's back in Tawnytown. It was another favorite. And these are places I went with my grandparents. I love Westerner's Cafe in downtown Rogers for breakfast.
I love that place. That's one of my favorite places to go.
I love it. It's, you know, just a good greasy spoon breakfast. And absolutely love it.
Huh? He is not lying, dude. They've been around for a long time too, and they do a really good job at it.
And you walk in there and it's like Arkansas. That's what I like.
Yeah.
I also like, and I've not been since I've been back. I've as much as I want, but Mama Z's in Tawnytown is an Italian. It's solid.
Is that like going towards the back?
Going towards like Oklahoma, if like you go.
I see. Okay.
And so that was a childhood favorite. I'm kind of a homer in that way.
Sure.
Unfortunately, there's the Fat Chef out towards Prairie Creek was
great. They just closed. Yes.
And the other one I know downtown Rogers has a lot of new restaurants, but Las Palmas was also like just a staple for me growing up. Is like
Las Palmas. Yeah, I remember that.
I kind of like the stuff I grew up on. So
that's totally fair, though. I mean, I can definitely understand, right? So yeah, you mentioned a lot of great places.
Like, yeah, I think so.
Westerner's Grill for me is real good.
The other one is that I like is Herman's in Fayetteville.
That I haven't been.
It's good.
Is that one good?
Yeah,
okay, we'll have to check it out.
And it's old school Arkansas, and so, but yeah,
love it. I love it. Well, guys, you know, we're reaching the end here. And so for you, Mr. John, we have this little tradition that we do here on our podcast. So what we do is we like to try and connect all the episodes with one another.
Yeah.
So what we do is the previous guest has left you a question to answer.
Okay.
And then once you answer the question, then it's your turn to leave a question for the next guest.
Ah.
Right. So the question that was left for you, John, is what superpower would you have and why?
Ooh.
and feel free to take your time and think about what it would be.
Huh. I'll tell you, I'm not really good at these kind of questions, to be honest with you. So maybe my superpower should be like being better at answering questions like this, or I don't know.
Reading minds.
Yeah.
There you go.
But I'll tell you this, just because I'm terrible at answering these questions and given my previous career, I'm going to say flying would be my superpower.
Okay.
And I realized that was never going to happen.
Okay.
So I wanted to be a Navy pilot. So that's why I flew in the Navy. No, that's a cheesy answer, but
you saw Top Gun.
Top Gun. I'm like, that's it.
I like it.
Okay. I'll go with flying.
Okay.
Yes.
Very cool.
We can say that partially inspired my career pursuits in the
Navy. There you go. But it would make sense, though, right?
Is it true when you're flying, you lose, I wouldn't say focus, but you forget about everything else when you're up in the sky?
Yeah, it's interesting you asked that. I would say in the Navy, we used to talk about compartmentalize. You know, compartmentalize, leave any stressors, any things that's going to distract you from being in the cockpit, flying the aircraft. And so, but I think you kind of train to it, right? You train yourself to compartmentalize, to fly the aircraft in what we would call in the Navy, aviate, navigate, and communicate, right? Always fly the aircraft first.
Nice. So now, what is your question for the next guest?
Well, I'm not good at creative questions like that. So
we got all the time.
My question is, because I think this podcast is about like Northwest Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, if it's, what can we do to make Northwest Arkansas better? What can we do to make this community better? And where are areas that we can improve maybe the most, or where are some things that we do really well that we can build upon?
Okay.
That's I like that question.
That's a great
question. Especially with all the growth that we're getting. I think it's really important to pick the community's brain and see what we who are living in the community, every day, what we can kind of do to grow and make our area even better than it already is.
Yeah.
So that's a really great question.
I believe in being forward thinking, inspirational. I would phrase as opportunity. Where are there opportunities?
Okay.
I like it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm curious to know how our next guest will answer that.
Yeah.
Folks, you know, we are here at the end of the episode. John, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you all. And And by the way, thank you for what you are doing by connecting Northwest Arkansas. And I appreciate efforts like this, because and thank you for even reaching out and asking about, like, hey, how do we connect the old to the new? And I appreciate that. So thank you.
Man, thank you.
Well, we're honored to have you here as a guest. You know, Juan Carlos and I are, he had this idea originally, right, to highlight the area and serve our community. And so this podcast, I think, is doing a great job. So people like you contributing your time, we're really grateful.
Yep. We're always grateful for our guests to be here and to give us their time. That to me is such an honor, and because people don't have to.
Yeah.
You know, people, you know, may not believe in this or anything like that, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But man, when someone says, yes, I'm willing, man, I'll do whatever I can just to say thank you, you know. So thank you.
Oh, yeah, easy day.
Yeah,
absolutely.
A fun day. Yeah,
yeah, that's right. Easy day. Better than last week's cold week.
Oh, yeah.
I agree. Well, yeah, guys. But again, quick reminder, you know, Juan Carlos and I are local real estate experts here in the area. So if you ever need any service or help, please feel free to reach out. Follow us on our social media. Our podcast Instagram is So NWA Podcast. And yeah, guys, thanks for tuning in, and we hope you guys have a wonderful week.
Everyone take care, and we'll catch you on the next episode.